made the people aware of their responsibility to such degree that they knew, men and women knew, that no matter whether they were called emir or not, or had a position of power or not, if they saw something wrong, they had the power to speak out and give guidance from Quran and give guidance from the Prophet and correct that thing right on the spot. Right now, we have something that I think a lot of us don't realize the importance of it. The imam be leading the prayer. Anyone in the group that knows the imam made a mistake can call his attention to it by saying, Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar. That tells the imam, you made a mistake. And the imam has to correct it. What religion you know where people in the congregation, they hear the preacher. priest, father, just a moment. Go back and recite, go back and pick it up again. What is that to tell us? You know, we don't like to have interruptions in those special, very important meetings, formal meetings like that. We don't like to have any interruptions. But what is that to tell us? That his presentation and his image that he has before the people is not as important as getting that message over correctly, as giving correctly what Allah has revealed to be given. That his image is not that important. So, you know, I'm sure a lot of you, man, they have been hurt. I bet they went home and cried like babies. Have such great image, you know, in the scholar, and somebody say, Allah Akbar. And he has to go and go back and correct it. And then sometimes the man, he never saw him before. He might be in shabby clothes, and he go back and tell him, Lord, brother, you said this, you said it wrong, and he give it to him right. He gives him the verse right, and he has to say it right. He has to give it right. Not only in prayer, I mean, but in lectures, you know. Anytime if he's lecturing, and he makes a mistake, you correct him right about it. Allahu Akbar. That shows the role of the individual, the great role of the individual in this religion. We are not to look at people and say because he doesn't have wealth, or because he's not a scholar, or because he's not in position of authority, we don't have to listen to him. No, his authority is that he knows what God said. That's his authority. He knows what Allah said. He knows what the Prophet, that's his authority. Yes. So praise be to Allah. I return now to the religion itself, that is the religion of Al-Islam, that is a comprehensive religion. It is a religion that addresses the total life and the total needs of man and does not bring about a dichotomy or separation in the life of man where one side is working against the other or threatening the other. We know that anytime we give ourselves to extremism, that's going to be a threat. If we give ourselves to extremism in spiritual life, that's a threat. We give ourselves to extremism in material life, it's a threat. In our religion, all extremism is bad. Allah says, guard against extreme. And again, Allah says, the devil invites you to extreme. So we can't close this address without mentioning the big danger that is presented to us by Satan himself, the devil. We know that when Allah created everything, he created it perfectly suitable to the best condition and the best opportunities for a human being. He made it the best. We call it paradise, right? He created paradise for us. And we know as Muslims, what the Prophet has told us, that it was Satan who changed it. He changed it from paradise to a very perilous creation for man. He put enticement and what you call things to lure you from what Allah wants. He put enticements, attractions to lure us from what Allah wants. So he made the world very unsuitable and very dangerous for the servants, obedient servants of God. The Satan did this. But it doesn't mean that we should see these things in their nature as being bad. No, they're not in their nature as being bad. They're bad only in our misconception of those things. We misconceive them. We misconceive the things. We misconceive the purpose for these things. And there lies the danger for us. But everything, even the pig. The pig is an animal. God says, don't eat the pig. So we can't raise pig for somebody else to eat. That's it. No pig. But look, even that pig, Allah created him. He's of Allah's creation. You leave him alone, he's a good pig. Yeah, he's only a bad pig when you start eating him off your plate. Or selling him to somebody else for consumption. He's a good pig, just leave him alone. He's a good pig. Now, I know that's difficult for some of you. Because we once made that pig more important than Allah. Boy, a lot of us, we forget about Allah. But you mention that pig, you get our mind back. No, man, I never touched any pork. How in the world could he eat pork? We never say, how in the world could he stop believing in Allah? No, how in the world could he eat pork, man? After knowing all the trichinas and trichinosis and the germs in that worm, that naked worm, man. I done heard him talk like that, you know. I don't see how that brother could go eat pork. I could do anything, man, but I don't think I could ever eat any pork. That's changed now, though. That was when we had a strong desire for moral strength in our life. But the atmosphere has changed now, you know. It's loose morals. So with loose morals, that same brother, now he said, oh, man, they ain't gonna kill you to eat a little piece of it. Dear Muslims, I'm sure that all of us are aware of the burden on us as a people. No matter how successful we are individually, I'm sure all of us are aware of the burden on us as a people. We waste our resources. We fear to invest wisely. We are inclined to gamble more so than to use our intelligence and good logic and plan a successful business or something. We give our money to a risk situation that's pure risk. We'd rather gamble than to invest wisely. I pray Allah that the Muslims will accept the Muslim responsibility to work for the life hereafter and also work for the life here and now. And don't be afraid to invest. We're not going to always be successful. If we believe in Allah, then if we see an investment that is proper for Muslims, and it looks like a good investment to us according to our own intelligence, we've studied it, we're not afraid. We know nothing is guaranteed. If we fail there, we will try again. and try again, as the expression goes. Yes, we never give up. Don't be foolish. Make calculated moves with knowledge. Get knowledge before you move. And be sure that you've done all the preliminary work, that you researched the matter, you studied the matter, or you looked into it, and go on and have the courage to invest. Look, success belongs to the people who have courage to invest. You invest nothing, you get nothing. Isn't that common sense? Isn't that what we've been told? You put nothing in, you get nothing out. Some of us can't even be farmers anymore. We afraid the seed won't come up. Well, our fathers and mothers, they had faith at least that the seed would come up. Yeah. They planted and expected a harvest and worked for a harvest. We have to be the same today. Put something, invest something in the world to get something out of the world. And if you're not in a position to invest, then work at getting yourself into a position to make an investment. You know, when Allah tells us over and over again in the Quran to spend, you know most of the time what that means? Invest. Invest in the world of today for the good future tomorrow. But do it loving Him and trying to obey Him. Do it in obedience to Allah, and He assures us that we will be successful. Look at the money that comes through our hands. Those who study our financial situation as a people, they are saying that we are spending as a race or as a group in America much more than all the other groups are spending. No other group that we know of is spending like we are. We are great consumers, great spenders. We are spending great wealth. So you know what we are doing? We are giving business opportunity to other people. That's all we're doing. We're just giving business opportunity to other people. We are making other people rich. It's going out just buying. We're scared to put the dollar into the economy. We're spread to put the dollar into the financial workings of society. So we just, I'll buy that car. That's new. Yeah, that's good. Give me that coat. Give me two or three of those. You got to spend that money, you don't even trust the bank with it. So everybody getting rich and we staying poor. I remember a time I was talking once on the need for us to invest and try to establish ourselves financially, and one brother said, "Well, brother, we ain't supposed to give ourselves to materialism." I said, "Lord, have mercy." I corrected it, though. I went back and got the evidence from Quran and the life of the Prophet. Sure. A lot of us think the Prophet was a poor man. Do you know how Prophet, peace be upon him, was no poor man? Even before he was missioned as a prophet, he was a businessman. Businessman. Working in the employment of Lady Khadija. Yes, may God be pleased with her. Working in her employment. And he was such an asset that she put him over her business because he was so successful at what he did. She put him over her business. So our prophet, even before he became a prophet, he was a businessman. You should think about that. Say, "Oh, the prophet didn't have any money. He slept on a little thin mattress." Yeah, you sleep on one too. I would like to see us sleeping on a little thin mattress, where you can feel a little small pebble if under it. You know, if you turn over on it, you see a little small pebble is up under this mattress. Yeah, that's the kind of mattress he slept on. You know, so thin that if a little small pebble was under it, he could feel it pressing his skin, you know, pressing against his skin. But I like for you to sleep like that too, if you like, you know. Yeah, that's very good. But when you wake up, let me see you ask, what is the financial situation of the good believers? Say, come, we want to improve you. We want to improve it. Here, you take this, go invest that. Invest this. Help the community. Prophet Muhammad had so much wealth, he just passed it out to bright and industrious and good-minded people. And just passed, give them just a lot of it. Say, go and invest it. Help to make money. Help to invest. Increase the wealth of the Muslims. Yes. And that's what I like to do. I just got to follow my prophet all the way. Yes. One day I see myself sitting there. And I tell them to open up vault number 2. Yeah. Say, how many of those Mercedes dealerships I got now? Oh, no, thank you very much. Tell them I want to buy one of the new electric trains that they got out. And I want a train. I want to have my own train. Yeah, I like to see that day, you know. Say, well, how many employees we got in that bank? He said, oh, 200. Well, we got more money here in the bank. It's just laying up here, and we don't have any good investment opportunity right now except to invest in employment. Build another bank that size and just so we have more employees. You see how righteous money can be? All you need to do is have your heart in the right place. Have your heart with Allah. Accept the guidance of the Quran and the life of our Prophet as an example for us. And go on after establishing yourself, not only spiritually, but materially. Thank you very much. As-salamu alaykum. A lot.